beginning with Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 18. This is the word of the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.'" And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. In Leviticus chapter 27, verses 1 through 8, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, and say to them, 'If anyone makes a special vow to the Lord, involving the valuation of persons, then the valuation of a male from 20 years old up to 60 years old shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. If the person is a female, the valuation shall be 30 shekels. If the person is from 5 years old up to 20 years old, the valuation shall be for a male 20 shekels and for a female 10 shekels. If the person is from a month old up to 5 years old, the valuation shall be for a male 5 shekels of silver, and for a female the valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if the person is 60 years old or over, then the valuation for a male shall be 15 shekels, and for a female 10 shekels. And if someone is too poor to pay the valuation, then he shall be made to stand before the priest, and the priest shall value him. The priest shall value him according to what the vower can afford." This is the word of the Lord. This morning, I thought it might be good to summarize some of the things that were said last week, as I'm not sure that what was said was very clear or coherent. But it does relate to what we've been reading in Leviticus chapter 26, and also to what we will be reading in Leviticus chapter 27. And if we ever wonder whether the book of Leviticus is practical, it is helpful to remember how Leviticus chapter 26 began. Leviticus chapter 26 begins with a summary of the obedience which God requires of his people in communion with him. Leviticus chapter 26 begins with a command against idolatry and a command to keep the Sabbath and a command to reverence God's sanctuary. And while these commands are distinct, they are inseparable. And what holds them together is worship. What holds them together is the worship of God. How God's people are to worship, when God's people are to worship, where God's people are to worship. What holds together these commands is the worship of God. In Leviticus chapter 26, God is revealing to His people whom they are to worship, how they are to worship, when they are to worship, where they are to worship. And these things were written not only for their sake, but for yours. And so God is also revealing to you whom you are to worship, how you are to worship, when you are to worship, where you are to worship. There is nothing more important. There is nothing more practical than that. Now, there are differences between how these questions were answered under the Old Covenant and how they are now answered under the New Covenant. But there are similarities as well. For the same God is the God of both covenants. And the Old Covenant was always looking forward to the New. Then, the people of God were to worship the Lord, the one true God. And now, as then, we are to worship the Lord, the one true God. So now, with the fullness of revelation, we are to worship Him as the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then, the people were not to worship God through idols or images. And now, as then, we are not to worship God through idols or images. Though now, with the revelation of Christ, we do worship God through the One who is the image of the invisible God. Then the people of God were to worship on the Sabbath day. And now, as then, we are to worship God on the Sabbath day. Though now, with the resurrection of Christ, the first day of the week has become our Sabbath day. And then the people of God were to worship Him at His sanctuary. And now, as then, we are to worship God at His sanctuary. Though now, with the pouring out of His Spirit, when we gather together, wherever we gather together, we are gathered not to the earthly sanctuary, but to the heavenly one. In Leviticus, we see the importance not only of whom we worship, not only of how we worship, but even the importance of when we worship. The importance of where we worship. In Leviticus, we see the importance of the Sabbath, and the importance of the sanctuary, of when and where we are to worship. For the Sabbath, it involves both time and space. The Sabbath is the day of God's rest. And the sanctuary, it is the place of God's rest. We cannot overstate the importance of the Sabbath. And we see its importance not only in Leviticus, but also in Exodus. And not only in Exodus chapter 20 and the Ten Commandments, but also in Exodus chapter 31, which, interestingly enough, is the conclusion of the section of Exodus where the pattern for the earthly tabernacle and sanctuary is revealed. And the English translation from which we are reading, it captures well this importance. It captures well the importance of the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. And why? For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. We see here in Exodus chapter 31 what we have seen in Leviticus, that sanctification, our being made holy, but sanctification takes place in the presence of God. Sanctification, by which you are conformed to the image of God, by which you are made over in holiness. Sanctification, it takes place in the presence of God. God's people are transformed by the light of His presence. And so I do not think it would be wrong to speak even of the Sabbath as a means of grace. We gather together on the Sabbath day to behold the Lord, to enter into His presence, to bask in the light of His countenance. And as we do these things, we may know that the Lord is sanctifying us. He is sanctifying us in His presence. He is sanctifying us in our worship of Him on the Sabbath day. As on this day we gather together and enter into the place of His rest, as on this day we gather together to behold the light of His face. This is the teaching not only of the Old Testament, but of the New Testament as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes that we are transformed into the image of Christ. That we are transformed into the image of Christ by beholding the glory of the Lord with unveiled face. We are sanctified by standing in His presence. We are transformed by beholding His face. When will this transformation be complete? When will we enjoy the fullness of our sanctification? When we at last see the Lord as He is, no longer by faith, but face to face. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. The Lord sanctifies us on the Sabbath day. The Lord makes us more and more holy on the Sabbath day, as we come into His presence, as we exult in the glory of His gaze. The Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between God and His people. And what we do on the Sabbath, it was established for us by what God Himself did on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath which He made for us. And so what is the Sabbath for? The Sabbath is for rest. The Sabbath is for refreshment. And we know this because that is how the Lord blessed the day. That is how He made it holy. The Sabbath is a day of rest to us because the Lord Himself rested on the Sabbath day for us. And the Sabbath is a day of refreshment to us because the Lord Himself was refreshed on the Sabbath day for us. But of course, this does present us with the question of what that means. What does it mean that the Lord rested on the Sabbath day? What does it mean that the Lord was refreshed on the Sabbath day? Now we know that for the Lord, rest and refreshment are not physical. Though for us, as embodied creatures, the Sabbath certainly includes physical rest, physical refreshment. But God's resting and being refreshed on the Sabbath, it makes known to us that the rest and refreshment of the Sabbath day is not first and foremost physical rest and refreshment, but rather spiritual rest and refreshment. To understand what it means that God rested on the Sabbath day, it is helpful to think of God's resting on the Sabbath day as God's entering into His rest on the Sabbath day. But what does that mean? That God entered His rest on the Sabbath day. It means that on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, He entered the place of His rest. It means that on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, He was enthroned in the heavenly places. It is why we speak of the invisible heavens as the dwelling place of God. Not because they existed from all eternity, but because though they cannot contain Him, He was pleased to make them the place of His rest. To make them the place of His dwelling forever. God's rest has no end. And that is why we look forward not only to a weekly Sabbath, but to an eternal Sabbath. That is why we look forward not only to a weekly day of rest, but to an eternal day of rest. For us to enter God's rest is to be conformed to His image. As He entered the place of His rest, so also we will enter the place of His rest. Which is why, on the weekly Sabbath, we do what we will do on the eternal Sabbath. We enter the place of God's rest. On the Sabbath day, we enter His heavenly house. On the Sabbath day, we enter the heavenly sanctuary. How we keep the weekly Sabbath, it reflects how we will keep the eternal Sabbath. How we keep the weekly Sabbath, it is to reflect how we will keep the eternal Sabbath. For God to rest on the Sabbath day was for God to enter the place of His rest. And that is why God's people under the Old Covenant rested on the seventh day. Because the Lord entered His rest on the seventh day. And that is why God's people under the New Covenant rest on the first day. Because the Lord Jesus entered His rest on the first day. It was the day of His resurrection from the dead. It was the day of His ascension into glory. As God rested on the Sabbath day, so also we rest on the Sabbath day. As God entered the place of His rest on the Sabbath day, so also we enter the place of His rest on the Sabbath day. The place of His rest, He made it for us, that we might dwell with Him. But what does it mean that God was refreshed on the Sabbath day? We usually think of refreshment as something physical, something that is needed for when our bodies faint or grow weary. But the Lord does not faint or grow weary. And so again, we ask the question, what does it mean that God was refreshed? We also see that in God's being refreshed, that His refreshment on the Sabbath day was not a physical refreshment. And so for us, the refreshment of the Sabbath day is not first and foremost physical refreshment, though it certainly is that. It certainly includes that. But for us, the refreshment of the Sabbath day is not first and foremost physical refreshment, but rather spiritual refreshment. The Hebrew word translated as refreshed means to breathe in, to take breath. But what was the Lord breathing in on the Sabbath day? Now I would suggest to you that it was the Spirit that the Lord was breathing in on the Sabbath day. That it was in the Spirit that the Lord was refreshed on the Sabbath day. For He enters into His rest in the glory of the Spirit. We see this at the end of Exodus. After the completion of the tabernacle, at its completion, a cloud covers the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. The Lord enters His dwelling place. The Lord enters the place of His rest in the cloud, in the glory of the Spirit. For that is what the cloud was. It was an image of the Spirit. That the cloud, the glory cloud in the Old Testament, that it was an image of the Spirit. We see this clearly in the New Testament. We see it in the Transfiguration. And the Transfiguration of Jesus. The same word that is used in the Greek translation of Exodus chapter 40 for the cloud covering the tabernacle. It is the same word used in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, for the cloud that covers Jesus and those with Him on the mountain. When a voice speaks from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And the transfiguration of Jesus, it mirrors the baptism of Jesus. When a voice from heaven likewise spoke, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." But there in His baptism, it is not a cloud that covers or overshadows Jesus, but rather it is the Spirit that descends like a dove and rests upon Him. Just as the Father and the Son and the Spirit are revealed at the baptism of Jesus, so also the Father and the Son and the Spirit are revealed at the transfiguration of Jesus. It is the Spirit that covers Jesus. It is the Spirit that overshadows Jesus. It is the Spirit that rests upon Jesus. The glory cloud, it is an image of the Spirit. And if there is any doubt about that, we have the witness of Luke. We have the witness of Luke's gospel. For the same word that is used in Exodus chapter 40 for the cloud covering the tabernacle, when the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle, and in Matthew chapter 17, for the cloud that overshadows the mountain and the transfiguration of Jesus, when the glory of the Lord shines through Him, it is the same word used in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. "For what overshadows Mary? For who overshadows Mary in the conception of Jesus, when the glory of the Lord fills her womb?" Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." The glory cloud, it is an image of the Spirit. When the Lord was refreshed on the Sabbath day, It was His entering into the place of His rest in the glory of the Spirit. When the Lord was refreshed on the seventh day, it was His entering into the place of His rest in the glory of the Spirit. And likewise, when the Lord Jesus was refreshed on the first day, it was His being raised in the glory of the Spirit. We see in the Lord's being refreshed on the Sabbath day, the Lord's enjoying the fellowship of the Spirit. And so on the Sabbath day, we also are refreshed. We are refreshed not only with physical breath, but with spiritual breath. On the Sabbath day, when we enter into the presence of the Lord breathes upon us the breath of the Spirit. On the Sabbath day, when we enter into the presence of the Lord breathes upon us the breath of the Spirit that dwells within Him. And the breath of the Spirit, it is the breath of eternal life. And so on the Sabbath day, in the presence of the Lord, we receive the breath of the Spirit. We receive the breath of true life. On the Sabbath day, we are refreshed as we breathe in the Spirit, as we enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit. And that is what we see at the end of John's Gospel. When the Lord, on the first day of the week, appears in the midst of His disciples to breathe on them the Holy Spirit that dwells within Him. And so on this day, the Lord appears in your midst. The Lord stands in your midst to breathe on you the Holy Spirit, that you might be filled with the Spirit, that you might be filled with the breath of life, the breath of eternal life. But it does not end there. As one of you pointed out to me last week, it does not end there. For what do we do with the breath of the Spirit? What do we do with the breath of the Spirit that we breathe in? Even as we breathe in the Spirit, we also, through the Spirit, breathe out praise to God. On the Sabbath, we breathe in the Spirit that the Lord breathes out upon us. And on the Sabbath, the Lord breathes in the praise that we breathe out through the Spirit to Him. The refreshment of the Sabbath, it is the refreshment of the Spirit. The
refreshment of the Sabbath. It is the fellowship of the Spirit. A fellowship that God has always enjoyed apart from us. And a fellowship that He is pleased to enjoy with us. And that is one reason why Leviticus ends in the way that it does. It is a strange ending. A strange ending to a strange book. But it makes sense. It makes sense that the book would end with God's people vowing themselves to Him. But that is why God gives Himself to us. That we might give ourselves to Him. God gives Himself to us that we might give ourselves to Him. And so Leviticus ends with God's people giving themselves to Him. On this day, the Lord gives Himself to you. That you might give yourselves to Him, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the love of God. This is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. World without end. Amen. Let us pray.